This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Good morning, welcome everybody. I'd like to get into the fun and exciting portions of life. Smart meter opt-out provision.
Well, I just put this on here because remember at the last council meeting we continued the resolution to this meeting, mm-hmm. So I just didn't know. Included in the packet the resolution that was prepared and then the application that would be used if anybody would opt out, agreeing to pay an additional $15
per month.
And I asked for this to be continued so that I wanted to see what other cities that are, the research I wanted to do was what are other cities doing that are getting the smart meters and what kind of opt out. And Lander is having,
they are going to bid for the same type of meter that we're doing. I did find out that Pinedale, they have smart meters. They got them a few years ago. They did allow one or two people to opt out and they pay an extra fee. I don't know what it is. Lander, their public works guy said the only way they can opt out is if they put a meter pit in their sidewalk. I don't know, is that the same as when we talk about putting a meter pit in?
Just putting a meter pit outside, that's what, we talked about that initially too, and that would be the opt-out program. Would be.
I understand that that's some money.
That's, yep, it requires buying the pit and paying a plumber to put it in.
Like a couple thousand, $3,000?
Yeah, $20,000.
And I think what we're missing is not, that these people that are trying to opt out, I understand their concern, but we're not upgrading just to upgrade. They're making it sound like the meters weren't broken, why are we fixing them? And I don't think we've done a good job of why we were going to this. And wasn't it, a lot of this work was before I came on council, the EPA or DEQ or something?
So that's the EPA lead and copper rule where we have to inspect everybody's house, their service line, how it connects. That, if they do have lead or
galvanized
pipe, it will eventually have to be changed. But our first step is just, and that would be on the homeowner, but the first step was we as a city have to identify what their connection is. So in doing that, we ended up getting $900,000 in ARPA funds to change these meters. So we're taking that inventory as we install all of these. And I did send most of you our list of our, what I call, we have a reread list and we have a broken meter list. And as you can see, that's growing, that they are failing and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. As I talked to Pine Bluffs and then Cody did an opt-out for the remote readers that we have right now. They have let one or two people opt out of that. But in all of them, it's just as Dennis is describing here, it's only until we can't replace it anymore, and that's the way it is in Pine Bluffs, that's the way it is in Cody with the remote read one.
Once we can't get those meters, then they go to the new ones.
Then they'll have to do something, but they're allowing them for a fee to stay on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm assuming Dennis said we had 82 in stock, that we're not just going to keep those since that's not our meter of choice anymore. Does that inventory, does it get
phased out? Yeah, sent back. I really haven't thought that far ahead yet, but
I was just thinking about we've got some money invested in that inventory and we could probably get a portion back so we're not just, setting on 82 meters. But it's not only the meter reader, but we need to think about our bookkeeper. Everything touches everything. So it's like you're working with two different systems then, so then it becomes an individual monitoring process rather than an automated. And that's part of that. One of the good reasons of going to it is that it's all automated. God bless you.
Thanks. Is there a clause in there for new builds that they have to? There's no opt-out? Or is that something we need if it's a brand new house, new build thing, that it's not an option? Or, Doesn't that make sense? It's a brand new house, brand new everything to
make the option for it. Yeah.
I think we discussed that a little bit.
Yeah, I can't imagine that we can put in the remote meters that we have now into a new home. It's got to be the smart meter goes in.
Fortunately, that's the first smart device that goes in the house. They won't have their TV or their phones and everything by the time. They'll have to cut something else with that's adding extra. That, because that's my understanding of what the problem is. It's the culmination of all the smart devices.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to give up TV or phone.
As they're telling it from a room full of cell phones.
Yeah. The issue, too, is that if we have to litigate in order to put these in, it's more expensive than whatever the costs are. And they're paying $15 a month, which is more than enough, I think, to cover our costs, the city's costs. I drove around with Jenny in the car where she sets up the computer to do remote reads, and it takes absolutely no time. You drive right by the house and then the computer picks up the remote read. So it's not difficult to manage.
It's just maintaining all that system, you know, something to think about going forward. You know, that eventually it's going to have to phase out at some point. Like,
you know. Well, you know, people don't own their houses a long time necessarily. Those people may not be here, and then we replace it with a smart meter. I don't know. I just think from an economic standpoint, you're better off opting them out, having them pay, than fight with them.
I just can hardly wait till we get them all implemented, because Stacy is working her tail off doing, you know, she has to enter so much manually now because we are about halfway done or a little over halfway with the installs. And I should, maybe tonight at the council meeting, because it's a short one, we could do a quick presentation on how it looks on the Waterscope side. I know I've given Terry his login information, or he can get to his meter, so he can track.
I think it's going to show just how much we're losing out on.
You're damaging all these dogs.
Yeah. you know, how much the meters we have aren't reading correctly, and the money we're losing out on for water we're giving away and stuff. Just because, I mean, I've been watching mine. There is an app on your phone you can get and see how much you can use, you know. And you know, I'm trying to grow grass right now, but so, you know, I'm using 500 gallons a day.
You have three kids.
We have three kids. So,
water.
I'm hitting that 10,000 gallon limit real close every month, but it's interesting to see, and you get on there and see, you know, when you'd water, what time, and then where it spikes and everything else. So I mean, it gives you an alert. It gave me an alert that I have a leak, but you know, you can see that it was when I was watering or whatever. So it's going to be a handy thing for people, I think, when we get it.
We can tell some things, you know, like, and I've maybe shared this with you before, but when you watch the graph, and if it's just as doing the sawtooth, like up and down and up and down, that's usually a toilet that's running that just won't ever shut off, and it's trying to shut off. And so it'll show, like, the meter never goes to zero. And so that's a leak that just is constantly going, and leaks never seem to get better. They just get worse. So I can come in and say, something happened on this day, like their sprinkler ran, and I had talked to Barry Crago at the town hall meeting in Sheridan, and I said, your office seems to have a leak. Now, it's not a bad one, but it, you know, could be a toilet or whatever. And he said, I wonder if it's my sprinkler system. So he went and looked at the sprinkler system, and something hadn't gotten shut off. And, you know, so it wasn't costing him a lot of money, but it was a really quick thing to fix. And we can see all that from, you know, we log in daily, I can come in and see who's using water. I mean, it gives me like my top. I've got a set threshold, and it'll say, okay, you might want to check out these five people.
Big brother.
So, Mary, do you feel comfortable moving forward with the opt-out?
Yeah. I just, you know, I wanted to have a conversation about
the
it.
The archive has written.
That's not
true. Was there something in here that when the current meter and the, if somebody opts out, their current meter goes bad, it has to be replaced with it? Is there something in there of that nature, Dennis?
Yes. The last paragraph on the right hand.
Okay. You should be a lawyer.
Pardon?
You should be a lawyer. You have this all taken.
With Lander, I just warned them. I said, I really think you need to think about an opt-out policy before you start installing them, because it's really hard to undo it once you've told people, sorry.
Okay.
So,
the downside I see to it is it looks like we're buying into this whole thing about the meters being health hazards, right? It's not a health hazard.
Right. I would absolutely agree it's not a health hazard.
It looks like we're kind of climbing in bed with that idea.
But the problem, Mike, is that there isn't enough evidence. My thought originally was, well, let's just file a declaratory judgment action and say to them, you prove that that meter is going to cause harm. And there's not enough evidence out there either way, because you'd have to survey every household. You'd have to have the health records of every household. You'd have to, you know, do a massive amount of research on people's health to determine that there was not a health, and they have no ability to prove that there is a harmful effect. And so it's almost like you're in the button heads and no one wins.
And we're spending lots of money
spend a lot of money doing it.
I think looking back on this, if we know some of this stuff now, but now that we're already into it, if we would have put the opt-out program is, yes, this is, you put in a meter bit, you put it outside from the beginning, that was the opt-out program, and now halfway through it, it's going to be hard to enforce something like that, but I really feel that's the best option, but it's going to be hard to do.
Anything else on smart meters? Nope. Great. Golf course. Golf course reimbursement requests. Looks like.
So we have been given some, the golf board brought in these three invoices, and we kicked them back to them at first saying, no, we don't pay for this stuff. This is on you, and the contractor never paid for this stuff. I did send it to Dennis. That's kind of how we went down this path. And then they came back and challenged us again. So Dennis has asked that I throw this on the agenda today to have a conversation about, I did include the lease agreement. Their argument is that these items are ordinary wear and tear and damaged by the elements on a 100-year-old building. Per the lease agreement, we don't feel these items are our responsibility, even though we fixed nearly everything in the past at our own expense. Mm-hmm. Now, so where the section that they're looking at, we've actually replaced the roof and portions of the roof because we had that big hailstorm and everything. So I mean, I would still argue that we are doing the major things that are the acts of nature and some of that stuff. I don't know, Dennis, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is a 2001 lease, and I think there's a more current lease than this that we did in 2002. And that taught that, I think that came up about the $250 limit. We were responsible for the first $250. And then after that, they were responsible. I mean, it is an old building, and I'm sure things are, they need help. I just felt like we ought to address, from an economic standpoint, getting them money to maintain the facility if they can't. I don't know what the fees are out there. They charge their members to raise money, and what their revenue is. I guess you can look at that, find out.
Well, and I do know that they don't want to do anything to this building because they want a new clubhouse and they want money from us to build the clubhouse, which, you know, we did get a donation, a sizable donation from a Holt relative, and we put it all to the charitable foundation with so much to go to the outdoor pool, so much to go to the golf course, and I don't remember the third thing. But, so I do think we are assisting in the replacing the clubhouse, but I don't know, it's a hard deal because no revenue from the city, I mean, we don't get any of the revenues, they run it on everything that they take, and then we don't charge them for any water. Now it is the raw water system, not necessarily the treated water, but I know the school wants that, there's always a little bit of a battle between the school and the golf course and the parks when we start up. And or about now, when it's not.
So this is about 2,600 ballpark.
I guess the only thing I have with that is, are you just going to start writing checks now? Because we have no say in, yes, that's it, or, you know, they're just replacing it, and then they're going to come back and say, now this one's 10,000, and...
Where in this lease are they pointing to the...
Okay, I think we have an old lease Dennis is saying. There's a newer lease that has a provision in there about any... We pay the first $250.
And that's in there now?
I mean, I could grab that lease, get that part, and send it back with $250 for each one of these. The floor jacks are because they have a big fridge sitting, a cooler full of stuff, and the floor isn't going to hold it, so they put some jacks on there.
Yeah.
You could move the fridge, I guess, but it serves its purpose there. So.
Right. So, yeah, I guess we look at the lease and then follow the lease.
I set a renewal down at the end too for the next year.
Okay. Because we need to, it's time to renew liquor licenses soon. I mean, we need it like by September, so we're going to have to pass that lease so that we can lease them the liquor license. So.
Else on the golf course.
Nope. Perfect.
Well, I'm obligated on both funding letters.
So I prepared these letters. I don't know if we want to send them or not, but I prepared letters because there's unobligated ARPA funding out there that nobody can seem to use. I mean, they don't know what they're going to make a decision on it October 1st or after October 1st. Now, the federal rule doesn't change, but these have to be obligated by the end of this year and spent within 2 years. So I just pulled projects that we were in the queue, but when, remember, they only had $15 million or whatever, and we didn't make it. And then the last time, we were the number one ranked project, and they said, oh, but you guys have already gotten some money. We want to give it to, you know, some other, somebody that hasn't gotten any yet, you know, even though they didn't rank, you know, so... I took issue, I guess, with why did we try so hard on the ranking when it didn't mean anything. It just, everybody gets them. So now I'm putting it back on, hey, we had viable projects and we didn't get any funding, so we'd like you to consider funding these. I also stressed in here that ours could be obligated on all three of these projects. The Main Street project is that water line. It's under contract. We're bidding on the Wells project. That bid's this month, and the North Main storm drain is designed, ready to go. And then the fourth letter, did I include the fourth one? The fourth one is just, so you gave us some money, but there was a required match, and I would think that this is what they're going to do first and foremost with all of those projects, just fully fund it. Like, if the project met the criteria, you can pay for your whole project.
I see what you said.
So, there is a webinar coming up kind of explaining to people what they plan to do. Nobody knows what they're planning on doing, but I don't think it would hurt to send these letters.
No.
Yeah. I think
that'd be
good.
Yeah.
So if you, anybody has any issues with the letters, let me know and I'll make the edits if you want to reveal them. So.
Thank you.
I'm going to get that money.
Major capital construction project updates.
So I was going to touch on meter a little bit, but I think we're pretty well exhausted meter and stuff. So I'll just move on to Sunset. Phase one is ready for sidewalk. We got the curb gutter in. It's ready for sidewalk and mainline paving. We have had some trouble getting concrete. Supply. We promised concrete all so from the rest of this week. So we're going to start the sidewalk and work on mainline paving.
Is that because of supplies?
Yeah, from Kroll's been supply issues and trucks and busy everywhere else, all over town. One plant in town, you know, they're busy in Sheridan, same outfit over there. So. Been a struggle. But
Love has poured out as of yesterday for a while, so they
yeah.
should be free to start.
And that's yet. Part of it too, just everything that's going on. Main Street stuff, also. Cool job. So, yeah, moving on.
Should open a batch plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so they moved on to phase two. Be the next two sections. We've got the water line put in there. That's getting pressure tested today, and then I'll start hooking up the services to that, and then the sewer line's got going yet. The sewer line in that section. So hopefully, time they get done paving, they'll be ready to roll on to the next section of paving. So it's moving on. Main Street, putting an AED ramp, the the ADA ramps. It's been moving along fairly good speed, and part of it is too is that the first section there where that box culvert was supposed to go in by the dental clinic, that got pushed till next year because they couldn't get those box culverts, precast culverts. So they're going to move down to the post office yet this year. They were going to stop it permanently, but since everything's going good and the weather's good, they're going to continue on. So maybe get ahead a little for next year with water replacement and sewer replacement for people, and then the fire hydrants that are getting replaced. So
have most people opted in on replacement?
You know, as you come down the street, what it amounts to is they see you there at the front door, and then they decide that they want theirs done. Okay. So we have gotten a few of those, which just...
And we've got a lot of turnover since we've bought this.
Yeah, a lot of people that have bought and sold or didn't even know.
People have no idea that
I got you.
It's coming through. We've had quite a few jump on recently.
That's what's so frustrating is people say, well, I had no idea. We sent them letters. We have gone door to door. We have...
Yeah. Like I said, some of it was just changeover though. They bought, sold, bought, and the new people...
Didn't even know. Before I told about it. So that's on that. The wells project, we've actually extended the bid on that. We've had several contractors expressing concern and getting numbers due to the complexity of the electrical work on it, getting electrical contractors on board with it. So we extended it to August 20th at 2 p.m. for the bid on that. So that's on that. Moving on. A while back, we had some money that we were going to use for repairs at the water treatment plant. We wound up using and putting in some mixers up in the north tank. So those have been put in, installed, and are working. And that being said, I also have some good news. We're back in compliance with the EPA on our water test.
Woo-hoo!
That's good. It's been a long time in the coming. And I would like to thank all the water department, water commissioner, water plant operators, and mayor and council for your support through all of this. Getting us through.
Good job.
Thank you.
And then we also applied for some money from the state revolving fund, to get money to do that tank repair. So we're kind of in the process of, I think the mayor said in on the meeting we had with those on that. So.
So we had to send out, we have to do an environmental survey of all the agencies. You send a letter saying, is there anything that, you know, and all we're going to do is do some structural steel in the ceiling.
Painting.
And paint it inside and out. But we have, the tank's already there, but the whole process, because you're getting, you know, this funding. So the State Historic Preservation Office, the Game and Fish, the DEQ, send them all a letter for them to say, nothing's changed. That's where it starts.
So that's in the works. We've been painting the crosswalks and curbs around town, getting ready for school. Try to get that stuff done before the last minute. And I guess the pool closes on the 18th. Summer's winding down.
It's
crazy. So that's really all I have, unless you got any questions.
Just roll with that right into department head legal.
Terry and I met with the developer for the base camp project. And the changes they wanted, but we need to get approved for by you, is that they're not going to put sidewalks or curb and gutter around the building. So I agree that we would do that if they would put the driveways in. And the other change was they're going to post a surety bond in lieu of the completion of all of the improvements before the sale.
Well, before building permit issue.
Yeah, so there's a 110% surety bond for their improvements. And otherwise, I guess they're going to go ahead with that project. And in the city's, we also got a 2-year warranty on the water lines going in. There's no sewer.
Well, sewer will be private.
Sewer, it's private sewer.
Yeah.
But it's,
and this, there are still final plat stages in planning and zoning, but so they've still got a, they actually haven't officially applied there. Still haven't got a DEQ approval on their waterline design and stuff too, so they possibly won't even make this month's meeting on planning and zoning, but those were some of the infrastructure agreement changes that they had asked to hash out beforehand. So.
And I think a lot of what their whole plan has kind of changed too, as far as what all is going to have water, what's going to have sewer.
So we're going to
a lot has changed.
We'll have to take a close look at it when they do officially apply for their final plat, and if it's something we need to start over with a preliminary plat, maybe the case if it's the significant changes, but we're just waiting to see it on paper what they've really come up with.
That's all I have.
Casey Ferris stopped in. They have, Bergelli's have leased water from us. Okay. Is there a lease or something?
There's a contract
okay.
that we've done in the past. They purchase the city's right to Willow Park Reservoir water, which is on an exchange. Willow Park, of course, water doesn't come this far, but they do an exchange. And we've got so many shares of Willow Park Reservoir water, which traditionally Bob Bergelli uses on his property on Rock Creek. And so
they're ready to write a check because it's getting dry. So
need water.
I'll get that out. I forgot to do that.
So one of the things that he mentioned, and I don't know if you're the lawyer, you can figure out, he said his grandpa's getting older. He's wondering if we should switch this to Ferris. The lease to be Ferris.
It doesn't matter to us.
So I can have, why don't you follow up with him? Is he on today?
No, he's on Basil.
Okay, we can.
Well, I'm sure okay. Buggy will probably make time for this.
And then I also had an email from Jim Dawson. They're ready to get the building while the builder wants a letter from the city saying that we said it was okay for them to put a building there. Do you want to draft that too, or I could do that?
I don't. Do we have the location, exact location, or
just an address out there, I suppose.
The only thing I guess that I would include would just be our minutes showing the motion. And
how big is the building? Do we have the dimensions of the building?
96 by
50 by 100, something like that, basically.
Yeah. I can get that to you.
Yeah,
I got it. In the office.
It's like 50 by 100.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like
the Myra Camino shooting range. Boom.
I'm just casting Dennis with everything. Mike Callan has expressed interest on being on the JCTA board, so, and that's a recommendation from the board, so I'll throw that on the agenda tonight if you guys are in support of that. And then I just have a question. This company that's boring all over town, I've had some people complaining about just the mess that they're leaving everywhere, and I think you have your concerns too with...
I've spoke with both Visionary and the Boring Crew and expressed our concerns. And it's like any construction project, you know, they're working to get through it and there's cleanup to be done. When it's done, I mean, there's gravel going to have to go back in alleys and things that, you know, holes to be patched. I mean, they're aware of it, so...
Okay. That's all I had.
48 by 96.
That's the owner. Visionary.
Kevin.
Everything went well for parade. Thank you to you guys and your crew for barricades.
Heard there was a lot of traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of there's no way to stop everybody. It's just too long of a stretch, and I always do traffic control at South Main and South Bypass, and it is a show until the parade gets going, because everybody's coming off of I-25, and how do I get to 16 West, and but yeah, it went well, and I'll just be doing July numbers tonight. If you want to walk with me after the thing, I'll show you the part of our concern.
Any uptick from Canterbury stuff? I see lots of vehicles.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we figured. You know, a lot of people coming through, but lots more motorcycles in town too.
Yeah.
Be aware.
Both ways for bicycles. Terry.
Margo's painting is done on the entire building. Looks good to me. And so you'll see that final bill on tonight's bills. With that, I believe they did it in a reasonable amount of time and for the price that they under the price, max price that they had quoted us on their contract. So I'm okay with what they've done and approving that. They didn't want, I guess in the original contract, there was something for plaques to be put up. I sent you guys that email. They were okay with a QR code or something, stamp or putting on it so people could click it and see the information on them. And so I don't know if we're okay with getting that going or something on that.
Do we need to put in a separate post with a separate QR code so it's not attached to the building?
Do we need to? That I don't know. We have service rights to the building, but I think we can figure that all out as long as we're okay with it.
Yeah, I think the original contract did mention that there would be a plaque identifying the artists, and apparently a lot of people ask who did the work, and it'd be nice to acknowledge their work. Either way.
Are you guys, is the city looking into a project like that? Because we're going to try and subsidize some funding from the state funds to do a project for all the sculptures and murals in town.
I remember you saying something about that, so yeah, if you've got any ideas, you maybe can do that together.
Yep.
Or something out there.
Great.
Okay. Other than that, I'm headed down to Cheyenne this afternoon for the rest of the week. For the Western Planners Conference, I'll be sitting on a panel Friday afternoon with Interstate Engineering, giving a small presentation on Buffalo and during the COVID and some of the changes we had and influx and people and some of the things we had to do, what we've seen and how we dealt with it. On that, I think most of my major inspections are out of the way. There may be one or two small things I need to call you on, Kevin, to go look at, but all the major ones are, there shouldn't be a whole lot. So.
JOCO board. They're going to send three options on how they would like to proceed, and we'll see how the writing comes out on that. But they have three recommendations, so I'm sure the attorney will be also looking at some of their options as well.
And it won't be on tonight's agenda, will it?
No. And I think there's a Joint Powers Board CJC meeting and a Department of Health meeting today, too.
Other than that, that's
all I got. Anything from the press? Tourism? Happy election year.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.